Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. I don't have notes tonight because this is supposed to be short and a devotional. I will aim at that, but I'm not sure I always hit that goal. But of all the disciplines of the Christian life, the one we need the most and probably do the least is pray. We need to learn to do that. Prayer is not easy. I would underline that too. You need to understand everything that God wants us to do in the Christian life. The devil does his level best to undo it. He does not want us to do that. And so that's the real issue here. And that's the one that hits us when we pray. So we're going to look at some of the things that he says about prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Before we start, let's pray. Father, I thank you that we can come to you, come into your presence, that we can seek to learn more about this discipline of prayer, that even though we do it, we many times do it poorly, we don't do it adequately. I pray that this would be a nice reminder to encourage us to just pray, just be talking to you all the time. Pray that you would encourage us, help us in this, help us to learn some things tonight in this short time that we have in your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look at three things that Jesus told us. When you pray, and in a real sense, the first one can be the title of all of them. When you pray, pray to God, verse 5. When you pray, pray alone, verse 6. When you pray, pray knowing that God is God, verses 7 and 8. So the first thing we have is when you pray, pray to God. He writes, and when you pray, this is Jesus saying this, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Verily or truly, I say to you, they have their reward. That's a pretty scary statement, isn't it? They pray, but they pray to be seen of men, not of God. His first instruction in prayer was that we should not pray like hypocrites do. In other words, we should not pray to be seen of men. We need to have the right focus and the right motive when we pray. We pray to be seen of God, to be heard of God, to do what God wants us to do. I think it's very important to underline here that Jesus didn't say you cannot pray in public. I have talked to people who said, well, didn't he just say you can't pray in public? Don't pray like the hypocrites do, to be seen of men. You'll notice we pray in public quite a bit in this church, and you pray in public other places. If you're a pastor, you get asked to do that quite often in different places, and I have in the time that I've been in the ministry, been allowed and asked to pray in several different situations, some of them pretty tricky. I have to tell you this story. This is bad, but one time I was asked to pray at a retirement party for a teacher. And the guy was a really good guy. I'm not picking on him at all, but it was one of these things. In Pennsylvania, they don't have a school district over all the school districts. What do they call it, a secondary school district? Anyhow, whatever it is. The technical high school, high school where all the people go to learn shop and stuff like that, that was run by several school districts. So they would have this time where the retirees would go to this meal, and the kids that were learning to cook for restaurant work would cook the meal, and they would come together and they would meet to honor the retirees, and then they'd go and have their joint school board's meeting. And so anyhow, I was asked to pray because Dick Hefty was retiring, and so I prayed. And when I prayed, I have to admit, I preached a little bit in my praying, but I asked in Jesus' name. And I had one lady come up to me. I no sooner sat down, she was at my ear. How dare you pray that way? You should pray a more ecumenical prayer. And this is where I have to admit I probably didn't park my tongue before my brain was engaged. But I said to her, I don't know any ecumenical gods. I can only pray to the God I know. And she was really offended. I mean, she stomped off, and I went to a guy that I knew was chairman of one of the school boards, and I knew him pretty well. His brother came to our church, and I'd been to his house and stuff, so I walked up to him, and I said, I hope I didn't create too big of a problem for you. He said, why? I said, because I prayed in Jesus' name, and that lady was really upset. He said, well, she's Jewish. That's her problem. But anyway. So, and I was never asked to pray there again. I wonder why. But, you know, so you do pray to God. And what do you pray for? Why do you pray that way? Well, you pray because you don't want to necessarily pray to be seen of men, but you do pray openly, and they did in the Bible, publicly. Acts chapter 4, one of my favorite passages on that. We looked at it just a couple of weeks ago, 23 and following. And having been let go, these guys, this is Peter, John, and John, having been let go, they come back to their own companions and reported everything that they were said. They couldn't preach anymore. They were told not to preach anymore in Jesus' name. And they all got together and they kneeled down and they prayed. And I'm sure somebody led in prayer. I don't know who did, but you have a prayer specifically. And I've been in enough places praying with enough people to know that most people don't pray the same prayer. So somebody obviously led in this, and it was a public prayer. You find other places like that in the Bible and other places. And I would say this, when you pray in public, whether you like it or not, you pray to be heard of God first, but you pray recognizing that people are listening into your prayer. And so some of what we do is we pray hoping to be able to teach some people how to pray, to encourage them to talk to God when they pray, and recognizing the great privilege prayer is, and all those kind of things. I've had the experience over the years, because I was a church planter, and in other situations, where you teach leaders who are going to learn to pray in public how to pray. And I always emphasize to them, well, you pray to be heard of God. That's your first focus. Second thing is you realize somebody's listening in. You're going to have to do that. You can't pray like you would in private. I've told Adam this story, so I'll tell you guys this. I probably said this before, but when one church we were in, I would go during the week, and because it was right next door, the church building from our house. And I'd walk around the church building for exercise, and I'd stop at the pulpit, and I would pray. And one of the things I've done to help me, because I'm a terrible prayer, I can't keep my mind on things. So I'll pray out loud, close my eyes and pray out loud. And so I would pray standing in that pulpit during the week, praying out loud. And if anybody walked in, they'd hear everything I said, but they never did. But one Sunday morning, I get up to pray. And when I prayed, I forgot where I was. And I'm praying. And all of a sudden, when I get done, I open my eyes and there's people there. Scared me to death. My wife will remember this because I asked her. I said, did I say something I shouldn't have said? Because sometimes you pray for things in private. Do you pray in front of other people about? You know, not because it's, well, because it's probably not something everybody needs to know about or think about. So I was concerned that I said something wrong. And I didn't. I thank God for that. But I really did forget. And sometimes when you pray, that's what you can do. When you pray by yourself, you pray differently than you pray in public. Maybe not a whole lot differently, but you do sometimes pray differently. So there is that thing. And I want you to know that. God here is more concerned. Lord's here more concerned with our motives in prayer and to whom we are praying. I was telling Adam, there's a great illustration of this. I read into this in my research in the Great Awakening and all of that, that somebody prayed this prayer in a very important and famous church in Boston. And some newspaper man was there and he said, never a prayer was better uttered for a church or offered to a church. And I thought, yeah, that's about it. And whoever brought up this event was commenting on it, said, you know, we don't pray to a church, we pray to God. And that's a very good point. I think that's something that happens. We got to be careful. We don't pray just to be heard of men, but we actually are praying to God. When we pray, we want God to hear and others, not the others. That's not the important thing, what they hear or what they see. When you pray, pray alone, verse 6. First part is when you're praying in public, what's your motivation? But when you pray, it's probably best to pray alone. That's where you start. Everything starts with prayer, with private prayer. You should learn to pray in private to God and learn how to do that, pouring out your heart to God, keeping in mind that God is hearing what you say. This is not some religious rite that has some magical formula. This is praying to God. But you, when you pray, go into your room. King James says closet. It's a special place, just a place that you get alone. And when you have shut the door, Pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. The point is, when you pray, pray alone. Pray to Him. And I thought that's not an exclusion, I don't think, to public praying, but it is the root of public praying. Spurgeon said the most important thing that happens in the church on a Sunday morning is a prayer. They said to him one time, someplace, and they asked him, "You want to preach? You want to pray?" He said, "I'll pray." And they couldn't believe it. "How come you're going to pray? You're a famous preacher." He said, "If you pray properly, you preach." And he's right, you do. Prayer is vitally important, and that's the part he was important. He wanted to see properly done, so he prayed. But private prayer is anchor, I think, of public prayer. If you pray well privately to God, then praying publicly is not all that much of a problem, just an extension of what you're doing. When you pray, don't pray to people, and don't pray to those to be seen of people. That's part one. Second, when you pray, pray secretly to the God who sees in secret. That's a great promise here, that he who sees in secret will reward us. Every time we pray, he will reward us for praying. Now, if we're going to pray properly in any situation, we must first learn to pray alone. Our Lord's prescription for praying begins with a place to get away with God, and that can be anywhere. When you pray, go into your secret room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. I'm convinced you don't have to have a closet where you put prayer closet on the door. I have found in my life, and I'm sure you have in yours, different places that are very fun to pray and helpful to pray by yourself. One church, we were fortunate enough to live across the street from a corn field. And the field corn, when it gets full, gets over my head, which I'm 6 feet, so it's pretty tall. And I would go out in the middle of that cornfield and sit down and pray in the middle of the cornfield. And I think that was my secret room. Sometimes I prayed, one church I prayed behind the piano. The piano was propped away from the wall, and you had a little room back there, a little area back there. And I went back there with my Bible, and I would pray because I didn't want people to see me when I prayed. That was when I was young and my knees could handle being on my knees, so I'd pray on my knees. But those are places I found, and I'm sure you found other ones. I found standing in that pulpit sometimes in that building was a place to pray. I think the best thing is when you have this place you pray, it should be a place that when you get there, it tells you pray. You know, it should be a place where you pray. Now, you can pray driving to work. That can be your prayer closet. It really can. Just that you're alone and you give God your undivided attention. However, when you're praying, going to work, you better keep your eyes open and at least half your mind on the road. But pray. You know, it's something you do. I remember I was talking about my inconsistencies with 1 Corinthians chapter 11 when he talks about coverings. He talks about, you know, men shouldn't pray with their head covered because it dishonors their head. Now, I think there's a very cultural meaning to that. Don't think that's this is my inconsistency. I can't bring myself to pray with my head covered. So I take my hat off. And one time I was running in Bad Axe on a sub-freezing day, and my face was all red, my ears were all red, and my hat was in my hand. And somebody from church saw me and said, "Pastor, what were you doing? Are you nuts?" Said, "I was praying." "Why'd you take your hat off?" And I told him. He said, "Well, you said that's cultural." But it is. I'm inconsistent, but I just can't bring myself to think I might dishonor my head. I can't dishonor Christ. That is not something that I want to pat myself on the back about, but that is how serious this thing. I would pray while I ran. I sometimes pray when I'm walking on the treadmill. I pray a lot of places. I think you probably do too. I don't pray nearly enough. I'm going to tell you that. I'm not trying to be a great example. I'm not. I work really hard at this all the time, and I think you probably do too. But you need a secret place. You need a place that you, whether it's a real place or a place just in your mind when you get apart and you can pray. Just do it. Just talk to God. It'll enrich your life. You'll realize how real he is and how he can bless you in the middle of doing that. It's a great thing. And you can pray without words. Sometimes you pray just saying, "God, I don't even know how to pray." Just know I'm praying. I'm concerned about this. No, you know what you're doing. You can handle it. That's what you do. Simply a place where we can come into the presence of God alone and give Him our undivided attention. The essence of praying in the secret place is not the place itself, but the one to whom you pray. Praying to your Father who is in the secret place. He's the one who sees in secret. He can see what other people can't see. You can't go anywhere that He can't see you. And even if you're a guy and you're wearing a hat and you're praying, He still sees what you're praying, what you're thinking. And so that's the important thing. We need to focus our minds upon the God to whom we are praying. Sometimes focusing your minds is doing what I talked about earlier, praying out loud. I have attention deficit disorder, always have. I handed it down to my kids, just so you know that. I'm guilty of that. But because I have that, it's hard for me to pray silently sometimes. And so I will pray out loud. And if you ever come in here and you hear me pray, my voice in this auditorium, please know I'm probably praying, and just don't worry about me. I haven't lost my mind yet, though it's getting close. But anyway, but you know, I found, now I hope that helps you, because I found that's a big help sometimes. When you can't seem to think about it, you can't seem to concentrate on it to pray about it, get somewhere where nobody can hear you and just pray your heart out loud. Because then you don't start thinking about last week's baseball game or next week's football game or next week's whatever, and you think about people. You know how this works, right? You think about something, and then you think about that person, and then you think about something else in their life. Then you're thinking about something on the other side of the world by the time you're done, and you haven't finished your prayer. You haven't really prayed. So you got to be careful how you do that. So that hopefully it'll help you. We need to think about what a fearful thing it is that we are involved in when we are praying. I think that's an important thing. Too often prayer becomes a rite. We do. It becomes something we do because, well, we start church with. Yeah, I really think you need to do that. Start church with prayer. You need to start and pray a lot during the service. That's not a bad thing. It's a very good thing. But when we pray, we got to realize, hey, I'm speaking here, hopefully from my heart, through my mouth, to a God who's hearing and listening, and He's actually hearing in heaven. Do you know that? And whether you, I don't know how He does this. Millions of people pray to Him, and He knows what every prayer is. He hears every single one. He's infinite. I'm not. Two people talk to me at the same time, I can't hear it, usually. But God can. That's a wonderful thing. So that's what we need to do when we pray. And then this great comfort from Hebrews is a great book. I'm loving it even more. We're teaching it in Sunday school and such wonderful things. But Hebrews chapter 4, let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we may receive, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The writer of Hebrews constantly tells us we can go boldly in the very presence of God. So do it. He says, let us draw near. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means go and pray. Go into His presence. Go and spend time with God. Christ died so you can do that. You know, that didn't come at a low price. That came at a very high price. So you better be using that privilege. That's what he's saying. We have a personal audience with the living God, and we have His undivided attention. Should He not also have ours? And I think that's really the truth. How easily the world seeps into our prayer closets. And that's what I'm talking about, where I fought that every day of my life. My brain has a real hard time focusing on praying. Satan doesn't have to work hard to get me off the beam. And I don't know about you, but that's why I work really hard to try to do that, because I don't pray enough. And when I pray, I want to make sure I'm doing business with God. Then finally, he says, when you pray, pray knowing that God is God. Verses 7 and 8. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask Him. I think it's an amazing statement. You know, why do we pray? Well, we don't pray to let God know what we need. He already knows it. In fact, not only does he know it, he knows what he's going to do about it. You know why we pray? Because he said, pray. And then he says, if you pray, you'll get stuff you wouldn't have gotten if you didn't pray. You have not because you ask not. And I think that should tell us we should not ever be guilty of not asking. God will do that way. I have no idea how this works with God's sovereignty. I have heard, I've angered men that I love great dearly when I've said, you know, one guy, one pastor spoke for me one Sunday, and I taught Sunday school, it was a long time ago. That man's no longer here, he's with the Lord, and I think he's a very godly man. I have great thoughts of him. But he heard me teach Sunday school, and in Sunday school I talked about the statement in James 4, which says you have not because you ask not, or you have not because you ask for it to be consumed on your lust, because you want stuff, not because it's God's will. And that's why God sometimes doesn't answer. And so I was saying, well, you have not because you ask not means that prayer does change things. So he got in my pulpit. First thing he said is prayer changes nothing. I thought you were my friend. But I'm sorry he thought that, because the Bible does say that you have not because you ask not. So don't be guilty of not asking. But when you pray, do not use feigned repetitions that the heathens do. Now, what are we talking about here? I think in its first, in this context, he's talking about how many of the vain religions of that time, there were a lot of things they did to make God do things. You know, you said so many incantations, you did this little thing or that little thing, and God had to hear. So he says, don't do it that way. But I think when you think about praying, I think you got to realize there's a difference with being importunate, however you say that word. Continuing to pray and pray and pray about an issue that God says we ought to continue to pray, because he tells you we ought to keep praying. Sometimes be diligent in our prayers, asking the same thing over and over again. There's a difference with that than when you're giving vain repetitions. And I think I've got some illustrations. You can disagree with me, and that's fine. But we must not get caught up with the thinking that prayer is something of magical spells and means of twisting God's arm. It is not. It is not that if I pray for 4 hours a day, God's going to do it. It isn't something where if I put in enough effort, God's going to do it. I've been asked more than once and many times over the years, how many people, if 5 people pray, is that enough? And I want to say, you know, if one person is praying in the will of God, that's enough. And you have to realize God's will sometimes, God will do his will, but sometimes he won't do it right now. Sometimes he will do it later. Sometimes he will do it. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is wait. And I think quite often it's wait. God's timing is perfect. So when we pray, we got to realize it isn't, it's one thing to have people pray for you. That's a wonderful thing. And I would never discourage that. I think that's something that God even does. I know there's been times in my personal life where God is, and I don't know why this is, it's not because I'm spiritual, but God's woken me up and said in the middle of the night and put on my mind somebody, probably somebody I haven't thought of in a long time, to pray for them. And so I'll pray for them. And then I find out later that they were going through something right about then and they needed the prayer. And so it's a blessing to be able to do that. Did God need me to do that for him to answer the prayer? Gave me the privilege of doing it. So why does God do that? I don't know. A lot about prayer, that's all you can say is I don't know. But the point is, it isn't how long you pray, and it's not how many times you pray that means God will answer. It's not if I get 5 people praying for me, God will do it. I had one church where I had a lady who decided she needed something, so she called every church in town, every brand you can think of, even ungodly churches, even cults, and said, I want you to pray for me. And she said, I have all these people praying for this. And I said, you think that God hears the prayer of ungodly people? People that don't believe in him? No. Then why do you ask them to pray for you? Because somehow that's going to twist God's arm, going to make him do it. God will not have his arm twisted. God knows what's best, and he will do what's best. And you got to realize that that can be vain repetition. There's other manifestations of this. One was something that happened years ago, now, but it was very popular when it happened. There was a guy who wrote a book, The Prayer of Jabez, from, is it 2 Chronicles or 1 Chronicles? I never remember which Chronicles it's from, about chapter 4. And it talks about Jabez, who was more noble than the others because he prayed and God blessed him, answered his prayer. So this brother took that and said, well, if you pray this prayer, which means reciting exactly the words that Jabez said, and you keep praying this prayer, then God will bless you. That's not what prayer is. Now, is it good to pray the prayer of Jabez? If it applies to you, I think it is good. You can pray prayers that are in the Bible. I don't think that's a problem. I think it's a problem when you think that somehow God's bound to give you something because you prayed for it that way. I can think of another manifestation of one place that we lived. We used to have a weekly advertiser, and when you got the weekly advertiser, about four pages in the middle of the advertiser were filled with a prayer to St. Jude. And it all said, all of them, the two pages or four pages, all of those little things, and I mean little, like two-line ads for four pages, those two-line ads all said the same thing. You know, it says, if you pray this prayer, and then gave the prayer, you know, something to glorifying St. Jude, and you ask for something, and then you pray for I think 2 weeks or 4 weeks, I forget what it was, a period of time, and then you publish it in the paper, you'll get what you asked for. I don't know if you know this, but God doesn't care about that. God never says anywhere in the Bible, you pray to St. Jude, and you do it, you say this word, this prayer, exactly word perfect, and then in 4 weeks, you publish it in a newspaper, you get what you want. I always was suspicious that maybe the newspaper started this, because they made a mint on that. I mean, they made a lot of money on that. But that's vain repetition. That's what it talks about, and I think that's scary. So I'm sure that it's not the way we're supposed to do it. We have to pray knowing we're talking to God. We need to pray, and I think we need to pray with persistence. If the Lord lays on your heart to pray for somebody, praying for them. I don't think you have until the Lord tells you not to pray for it, until he answers it. That would be my advice. But I don't believe that this is the blessings come because of a form of prayer that we pray or something we repeat over and over and over. I have a statement here. I cannot figure out what I was doing. But anyway, so it's the quality. I think it's the quality of the prayer, not the quantity, that's important. When you pray, pray. And if you can pray for a long time, be my guest. I've heard of people who've prayed for hours. I have never been gifted to do that. I have ADD. Praying for 20 minutes is work for me. I was at a camp, and a guy was asked to pray for lunch. He prayed for 45 minutes. I know, I timed it. I also know this. He never once asked God's blessing on the food. Prayed for every missionary I'd ever heard of, and many I hadn't. Prayed all over the world about all this stuff, and never once touched on what we were doing right there at camp. And I thought, wow, that I don't think is a prayer that God is interested in. I think that's my opinion. I won't tell you who prayed it, so you don't, I'm not judging him. I just think that's not the way to pray. We need to pray to God. I can't pray, I've never been able to pray for 45 minutes. I've never timed it, but I would guess the longest prayer I've ever prayed has been like 25 minutes. And usually when I'm alone and I'm really just burdened with something and pour it out to God. But I'm not a good long prayer. I'm just not. One of the things that's convicted my soul in lectures to my students, Spurgeon says he didn't think 15 minutes went by in a day that he didn't pray. Man, do I wish I could do that. I've never been able to. So I'm not so sure everyone's made to pray for 4 hours. I don't know anywhere in the Bible where it says you have to pray 4 hours a day. Do you? In fact, I don't know anywhere where God put any time limit on prayer. I think the most important thing is that you pray. And when you pray, he has your undivided attention. You're praying to him. You're praying for him to hear you. You're praying to work with him and accomplish what needs to be done. Seek help when you need help. Seek wisdom. If anyone lacks wisdom, he must ask of God. That's actually a command there. And it'll be given to him. God, who gives liberally and doesn't upbraid, will be given to him. So those are important things. I think I said all that. I'm not sure what this statement is about, so I won't say it. The important thing is that we really pray when we pray. That, I think, is absolutely important. And that's why I think when you start out, the important thing is spend time, commit time to pray. And I will tell you, sometimes you pray and it seems like it doesn't get above the ceiling. Sometimes you pray, you feel like you're right in the throne room of God. And I don't know the difference other than you just persist in doing it. You keep praying, and God is honored in that. He who sees in secret will bless us openly. So the important thing is that we really pray. So then, let us pray. Father, I thank you for the fact that you give us prayer, that you want us to pray to you, that you often will include us in praying for things that you're going to do so that we can benefit from being used of God in that situation. We don't know all the ins and outs of prayer. We don't understand it because we're not you. But thank you, Father, you've given it to us, and I pray that you'd help us to be even more faithful in doing it. I think all of us say we don't pray enough, not sure how much enough is. But Father, instead of being guilty, feeling guilty, let us do something about it. Help us to remember to pray. Pray that you glorify yourself as we sing the hymn. Then if whatever we do in the meeting, you would bless that too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.